If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
This is my podcast, Visual Learner, and I'm Harland. Welcome to another episode. I think this is going to be maybe a little bit of a shorter one. I have a couple of thoughts on two specific things, and I'm trying to get this out and release before I go on vacation, everybody. Finally going on vacation. It's been like a year since I had a legit vacation because I still have a day job. So, and I'm doing this, man. It's a lot on my plate. Although I'm not in school anymore, so that's good. I also think somebody asked in the Google form. By the way, there's a Google form where you can send me submissions and questions, or memes and news and things you want me to talk about, which will be linked in this video description. But I think somebody at one point asked to answer one of those questions that was submitted a while ago, asked what I was in school for, and I was in school for marketing. So, yeah, that's what I decided to try and do with my life. I started before a pandemic happened. And then also before AI became a thing, how could I have known? AI is gonna, you know, marketing jobs and any kind of art creative jobs are being taken over by AI. Didn't know that was gonna be a thing when I started to go to school. So that's pretty cool. Although, I guess I should take comfort in the fact that I didn't finish school, get a job in marketing in some kind of capacity, and then get laid off. That hasn't happened. I know a lot of people where that's happened. So I haven't had to go through the layoffs due to AI. So I guess that's one good thing. If I'm going to put a positive spin on AI. Anyway, I wanted to quickly do this episode before I leave, because there's the internet's at it again. There's another situation where people are freaking out unnecessarily, I think. And I wanted to give my two cents, because I talk about culture and politics and, you know, the individual, right? I give my opinions. I think the way that we kind of look at culture, whether it's art or politics or whatever, and kind of use culture as a way to deconstruct a lot of, you know, who we are as individuals and what we believe and things like that. Maybe that's, I don't know, obvious to say, but they're the... basically the Sabrina Carpenter album cover. I've been seeing a lot of opinions and a lot of takes, some hotter than others. And I don't know if I should even be commenting on this as a straight white man, you know, a cisgender white man should be commenting on this at all. I've seen a lot of people say, like, fucking, the men need to shut up. And, like, I get the sentiment. I do. But I talk about this kind of thing all the time on my normal channel anyway. So I'm going to talk about it here. That being said, I'm not married to any of the thoughts I have about Sabrina Carpenter. One, not made for me. I am not her audience. But I grew up in an era in the 90s where this kind of thing was was everywhere. It was shoved down your faces. That's not the saying. It was shoved down your throat. By the way, can we get rid of that saying? It was shoved in our faces all the time. So, maybe I'm desensitized to it. I don't know. But at the same time, basically what's going on with Sabrina Carpenter is she put this album cover out, or she released the album cover. Everybody had a shit fit about it. Because a lot of people were accusing her of like playing into pedophilic stereotypes, and God, this video is going to get demonetized immediately. Stereotypes like Lolita, and then also like accusing her of like, glorifying or endorsing domestic violence. And because it's an image, for anybody that's just listening who has no idea what I'm talking about because you're a normal human being, it's an album cover, and she's on all fours for an album that's also titled, I think it's titled Man's Best Friend. And she's on all fours, and then there's a man who's like, you don't even see the guy's face, it's just like his legs, and he's holding a clump of her hair. Is it Man's Best Friend? I think it's called Man's. I could be getting that wrong. I don't know. Again, she's not for me. I listened to like one of her songs. I know I've heard some of her music. But yeah, it's like the lightweight BDSM type pet play, I think, that you could possibly participate in. And everybody was like, fucking, this is setting women back 100 years. And so I wanted to like kind of talk about it, because as somebody who's interested in culture and gender and sexuality and society and how this all kind of like interacts and sort of plays off of each other, I still think that, like, man, I hope this comes out right. I still think that men need to be a part of this conversation, especially men who, like myself, identify as a feminist. Like, I think I have decent takes most of the time about this sort of thing. And I think men need to not ignore it and be a part of the conversation to a certain extent. I'm not saying mansplain all this shit, but I think men need to be as much part of the conversation when it comes to intersectional feminism as much as anybody else. That's what intersectional means, right? So I'm not claiming that I'm like some kind of authority. I just want to offer my perspective, right? And because it's also just, I keep just getting blasted with this shit, whether it's on Threads or Instagram or TikTok. So I've seen a lot of people talk about it, a lot of female perspectives and women's perspectives. So I just wanted to, this was like the main thing I wanted to talk about in this podcast episode. And like, one of the big things that I keep seeing get thrown around is like saying that she's like centering men, or it's male centered, and like justifying what really kind of feels like subtly just calling her a slut. Like using progressive terminology to basically shame this white woman's sexuality and sexual identity. Like it feels like it's kind of masking the judgment with that academic or like intellectual sounding language. It reminds me a lot of a few years ago when like Jonah Hill, there was like a whole thing with Jonah Hill, like text messages that were shared between him and his like girlfriend at the time, where he was using like a bunch of like psychology babble to like manipulate her. It feels very much like this. It feels like a bunch of people took one, you know, women in film studies class and are now using all of this feminist coded language to basically slut shame this young woman. Like, I don't give a shit if she's a pop star or not. She is in her like 20s and people on the internet are essentially beating around the bush and slut shaming her. Like there's only certain sexual expressions that get feminist approval. It's weird. It's policing just this expression of desire or just sex. It's really weird. And the term the male gaze is getting thrown around a lot, being like, she's pandering to the male gaze. And that also feels like it's just them trying to basically slut shaming. Like, when you say male gaze now, after this whole incident, I'm really, really suspicious that you really just want to call whoever it is you're saying is appealing to the male gaze a slut. That's weird. Stop using words need to mean something, man. And people also see, like, I think a lot of the outrage is coming from the fact that, again, I don't know Sabrina Carpenter's like whole discography. I think she only has like two entire records. But I think some of the outrage is coming from how she's previously portrayed herself, where people assume that like she was appealing to the female gaze and now they're all losing their minds because they're seeing this as something that they're perceiving this as being appealing to the male gaze now. And like, I don't know. But like, I don't think a lot of these people that are throwing these accusations and being pissed off have a full grasp of what like either of those terms mean. Also, was she some kind of feminist icon before this that I missed? Like, was she writing like dissertations on bell hooks that I'm not aware of? She's a white pop star. How is this any different from Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera from like the early 2000s? Like, this isn't a betrayal. It's her job. It's so weird that this is turned into such a giant thing. At the same time, I am like, there's a part of me where it's good that these things happen to a certain extent, because it's like there's a lot of people that are talking about like, you know, whatever the kink dynamics are, right? Like, you know, as much as like there's a lot of weirdly puritanical conservative hot takes about this whole situation, there is an opportunity to discuss what have for many, 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 many years been seen as like taboo sexual behaviors, like kink and being submissive. Like, there is a power to being submissive. Like, it doesn't always come from, you know, a strictly dominant role. The thing about all this, though, is that like straight white women especially, get to express like whatever their kink is through their feminism in a way, right? Like, that is a privilege that a lot of white women have that like, say, people of color don't, or women of color don't, which is like, it's a whole other thing that I probably shouldn't even touch, if I'm being honest. But like, women can own their own submission as well as dominance, right? Like those, I don't know. It's just, it's disappointing that a stupid album cover has been the catalyst for all these conversations. And it's also like a double-edged sword because like she can sort of wield her sexuality as a white woman pop star, but then people freak out and clutch their pearls because of, you know, outside societal pressure that to make, again, white women specifically, these like virginal pure creatures.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It's so weird. It's weird. Like it really, it shows the, how society perceives white women, right? It reminds me kind of every time there's like a missing persons or a murder, like a white woman gets murdered, right? I don't know if this is a good analogy or not. And there's a nationwide manhunt and her face is plastered all over the wall. And there's a documentary and a podcast series about it. People on Reddit undertake entire independent investigations to solve the murder of, you know, Kathy Whiterson, like Patty Peckerwood, right? How many people of women of color get the same treatment? It's just bizarre. It's bizarre that people don't see sort of the disparity between how what is expected of white women and when they don't live up to that expectation, we slut shame them and call them. I mean, people are now calling her straight up a pedophile in some of the comments that I've seen on people's posts and opinions and takes, because she did there's a photo of her going around where she's like laying in the grass and there's a sprinkler and it vaguely resembles a scene from the Lolita movie. So we're just throwing that word around now, I guess. So also, like, even if, like, kink doesn't equal, this is where another issue comes in, where, like, people are, when they do compare this to, like, you know, the submission BDSM kink thing, they also get really, really close or just straight up say or suggest that, like, kink equals abuse or domestic violence. And it's just like, what the fuck are we doing? That's where like it feels super puritanical. And I don't know how old some of the people are that are saying this. And I don't want to generalize an entire generation and say that, you know, Gen Z is slipping into, you know, accidentally slipping down the conservative pipeline and becoming more and more puritanical. But like, there's no signs of harm in this album cover. No signs of abuse. It's at best vague eroticism. It's not anything that I would assume would be shocking in the year 2025, man. Like, is it reminiscent of like 1950s weird misogynist 1950s ads for like, you know, couches and shit and beds where it's like the woman on her knees and stuff? Yeah, sure. But It's just her doing her thing. I mean, at the end of the day, this is like for sure it doing exactly what she wanted it to do, or her team, you know, publicists, managers, the creative directors for the album cover. Like, it's not like they're sitting around being like, oh my God, what have we done? Like, no, they knew that this would get some kind of reaction. And you've all fallen for it. You've all fallen for it. Not me, though, because I'm a fucking genius and don't listen to her music in the first place. But people are just like projecting violence onto what is pretty tame sexual. It's not even like, dude, not even sexual. You see her legs? That's the most part of her that you see. There's no cleavage. You see the shape of her butt, but it's not even like, I don't find this sexual. I know that the underlying theme is there, but there's way worse shit from way worse people out there in the music industry. So, how is this any different or worse than somebody like Madonna? Like, what was in the 90s? She put out like a sex book, right? Sex book. And this stuff is like, whoa, for whatever year this came out. What year was this? It's literally called Sex. 1992, man. 33 years ago, Madonna was doing way riskier stuff. I don't know what the reception to this was, though. Oh, she came up with the idea while filming A League of Their Own. That's funny. Being around so many women just got her super horny, and she had to make a sex book, I guess. It's women's fault. This is why there can't be a fucking woman president. So it's just, the whole thing is just really weird. It's like people have such a short memory, or like don't even like look into. This is why I know that most of the people that are saying like this is promoting or endorsing abuse have no idea what they're talking about. Like, if you're gonna throw that shit around, you need to at least do a little bit of research about what the community that you're disparaging is actually like. It's just really irresponsible, I think, to accuse really, really tame stuff as being either pedophilic or like abusive in some way. It's honestly like the most chronically online psychotic behavior you could participate in. Like, these people have no idea what a ravishment fantasy, or like there was a video or a clip I saw someone sharing of, can't remember what ContraPoints video it's from. She's talking about bodice ripper books, right? And it's like those types of fantasies are not an endorsement of violence. That's why they're fantasies. They're not real. You don't actually want to do it in real life. You know, it's, you watch like a porno or look at some sort of like fantasy, sexual fantasy thing. I know you don't want it to be real life and you don't endorse it because, dude, once you're done, that post-nut clarity hits, you realize real quick, like, man, life would be a fucking nightmare if it was this fantasy I just sort of indulged myself in. Nobody wants that all the time. It's not an endorsement. It doesn't imply like real world consent, like violating consent, right? And to say it could lead to like the slippery slope fallacy of it all, that it could lead to like non-consent or whatever the fuck you're trying to imply makes it sound like every woman is like some baby brain child that has no agency. That's not very feminist. Like, fear of kink is just sexual illiteracy. That's all it is. You don't know what you're talking about, so shut the fuck up. If you know nothing about sex, anything kind of like kinky or risque looks dangerous. And if there's honestly, the bigger issue is that there just needs to be more comprehensive conversations and education around any kind of sex or sexuality, right? So I don't blame a lot of the people that have these bad takes, because it's at the end of the day, the government working against a more, I guess, enlightened populace, right? Population of people who are aware of these sorts of things. I mean, I think Texas just put like there was a law that was passed that said they have to display the Ten Commandments in schools now. You know what? I think there should be a law that gets passed that says you have to display the Kama Sutra in school. Start them young. Psychotic. And then like, as far as I can tell, like again, from what lyrics I've seen of hers, and what other fans have said, is that she's always kind of been relatively like sexually progressive. I mean, again, I'm not her target audience, but from what I gather, her past visuals and songs are already sing and talk about these sorts of things. So like, this seems pretty consistent with her brand. What exactly is everyone up in arms about? I don't understand this. Like, besides the fact that most of her fan base are women, and so, like, the male gaze framing is incongruent to her audience's expectation, but, like, are you not listening to the lyrics? I honestly don't think people listen to lyrics anymore. I truly don't think anyone's paying attention. Like, I just talked about in my last video, like, the amount of conservative right-wing weirdos who are, like, fans of Rage Against the Machine, like the amount of like posts, like or like, you know, tweets and videos and like Facebook posts from these people when they, after probably decades of listening to Rage Against the Machine, realize what they're raging against. Like, are you not I don't think people listen to lyrics anymore. I mean, I don't think people can read anymore. Like a blonde pop girly embracing this like traditional like femme stereotype and like visuals just seems like it triggers a lot of folks who have this sanitized idea of femininity as like that femininity is one thing. It's not one thing. Just like masculinity isn't one thing. And it just falls into like these conservative norms, which is where this like moral panic comes from. That's not that much different from the satanic panic, violence in video games, you know, the war on porn. You sound like a bunch of you sound like your parents or your grandparents, depending on how old you are. And it's lame. It's really fucking lame. You sound lame and boring. Boring. This is a boring conversation, man. It's so because we've had this conversation. I mean, I don't even need to be talking about it, but I gotta get those views. Like, I mean, people are talking about, you know, like purity culture. And again, it's like that. I get that. And I just worry that it generalizes a little bit too much of this idea that all Gen Z are more conservative, you know, like purity culture for sure exists. And to those people that are a part of this like purity cult, like who have a problem with the album cover, like were you planning on playing the record in church? Like, what are we talking about? Like these weird calls for modesty, just like, it's not liberation, man. These are conservative talking points. It's also dumb too, because there's other harm happening elsewhere that's way more important, that should be taking up way more literal internet bandwidth and also brain bandwidth. Like being pissed off that she's on all fours. Oh my God. He's holding her hair. Women like to have their hair pulled. I'm sorry. Some of them do. That's fucking fine. I mean, I don't mind having my hair pulled occasionally either. If feels good. Hey, feels good. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's consent. Consent. None of this matters as long as people are consenting. She's a grown-ass woman. She can have her picture taken however the fuck she wants. So, do you have anything else to say about this? This is like another larger issue among, like, just about like women's rights, is that anytime a woman appears confident and in control of her appearance in any way, whether she is choosing to be depicted in a submissive pose or not, like she's choosing to do that, that requires some level of confidence, it will inevitably always trigger some kind of outrage, no matter what. Doesn't matter what a woman does. It straight up doesn't matter. Someone's gonna have a fucking problem with it. Like I was saying earlier, like this is calculated. This is rage bait, man. They did, like, most likely, allegedly, they had to have known that there would be some kind of response like this. But the moment a woman is like confident and sexual and confident about her sexuality, people call her a scandalous bitch. Like I've had friends who are women in my life who have been in like high power roles in like their job or whatever, talk about how hard it is to balance having that kind of responsibility where you are like a leader, somebody that people look up to as a woman, because ultimately, no matter what you do or what they do, people just assume or straight up tell them to their face, you're kind of cold, or just straight up, you're a bitch. You come off as a bitch. Like, it doesn't matter. That's the bigger fucking problem here, that all these people that have comments and opinions about this, bad opinions, I might add, don't realize that you are participating in that same, like, disparagement. Is that the right word? It's probably not the word I want to use, but you know what I'm saying. And on top of that, like, is she in some way not reclaiming the narrative? How many times have I grabbed my head and scratched my face talking about this? I feel like this video is, I'm going to look like a psychotic, manic person. What are we doing, guys? Huh? What the fuck? But, like, is she not in some way, like, also reclaiming a narrative in some way? I don't know. I'm genuinely throwing this out there because I know that they're, like the traditional femme thing. Like, I know that there's the argument that, like, traditional femininity, like 1950s makeup, hair, wearing dresses, shaving your entire fucking body or waxing, I know that there's the argument that that is inherently misogynistic because it started, the patriarchy basically told women that that's what you need to do in order to be attractive. So I understand that. But at a certain point, don't women have the ability to reclaim that a little bit? right? I don't know. I mean, it just, it feels a little bit like how, like, the gay community has reclaimed. And again, I don't want to compare these because these are very different, but it's the closest thing I can think of. So apologies if this is also not a fair comparison. But like when the gay community reclaimed like the F slur in recent years, right? Or the black community, they've got the N word. They get to say it. I don't get to say it. Women can dress and put makeup on and do what they want. I don't get to tell them that they don't, that they shouldn't do that, or that that's not the correct kind of feminism. Like, am I wrong? I don't know. I feel like there's the ability for people to make their own choices in reclaiming what has been historically, you know, a negative depiction of just who that group is, or the group people in that group are, right? You can, right, guys? Huh? I don't know. What do you think? I'm not nervous at all about talking about this. And then it just turns into this like over intellectualizing of something as stupid as pop music, man. not every pop album or every female or like pop star needs to be, or is going to be, some kind of communist manifesto, some kind of feminist manifesto. Like, sometimes it's just a sexy photo for a sexy song, you know? It's not that deep, bro. It's not that deep. Like, if you're constantly searching for like some kind of hidden meaning in everything, then you start to sound like a lunatic conspiracy theorist. Like, that's, at the end of the day, like, you do. Sorry, I'm pulling up some stuff for the next thing I want to talk about. And like, correct me if I'm wrong, but that song, like the single that came out, and the whole idea of the record is like, she's essentially saying that men treat women like dogs, right? And then everybody called her a slut for saying that, I guess. Like, and that point can be made without it being like satirical, right? For all the people that are saying like she's failing at making satire. That's another thing that's been, that people have been saying, is that like, oh, it's failed satire. There was a video, where did somebody made a video? I think I saved it somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Oh yeah. Here, I gotta start screen recording because I want to look at some videos a little bit later. That's the other part of this. That I want to do, but all right. So, oops. I guess when you screen record and you're also recording in GarageBand, GarageBand just stops recording, so that's pretty cool. What was I saying? Yeah, it's just this over intellectualizing. Like, do people don't even know what they're just regurgitating? Shit, they saw someone else say somewhere else, and then they're creating like a, you know, a case study to record and film in a 30 or 60 second vertical for TikTok. Like, nobody wants that. There's too much of it. To quote Bo Burnham, can anyone shut the fuck up? Just shut the fuck up. Me included, man. Has me talking about this changed anyone's mind? I don't know. I know some of you are curious about probably what my opinion is on this matter. And again, I know to a certain extent I'm playing into what everybody else is falling for as well. Into this rage bait. I'm not mad. See, this is the thing though. I'm not mad at Sabrina Carpenter. I don't care. I don't care that that's her album cover. I truly don't care. Good for her. Cool. Music, it's not made for me. But the brain dead takes that I've been seeing are insufferable. As a feminist, as an ally, I care that this type of shit is getting fucking spread around so confidently. And they don't understand what the fuck they're saying. Oh yeah, I saved there's a tweet I saved. I'll put it up from a decade ago that somebody made. Is Popstar a feminist? Is MasterCard a queer ally? Is this TV show my friend? It just reminds me of that. You guys just like some of these people that are saying this is like like male gaze coded or whatever the fuck or they're, I mean, it just sounds like you're terrified of sex. It just sounds like you're a sexless nerd and you need to go get laid. You guys would freak out at the kind of sexual shit I've done, man. It'd blow your noggin. No idea how to transition into the next thing I wanted to look at. But, I don't know. As a man, should I have said anything? Should I take this video down? Leave a comment down below. In the meantime, I don't know if any... Talking about women doing dumb shit. Has anybody else seen the clips from the old, like, budget decorating show? Oh, cool. Ah, cool. What's happening here? Ah, sick. That's pretty fucking cool, dude. What the fuck is the battery life on this piece of shit? Is this still recording my voice? Okay. Now I'm screen recording. Oh my god, this is gonna be a nightmare to fucking edit.
Right now, we're working with a very raw space. This remodeled half bath has a new but old-style toilet and pedestal sink. Using the colors in the floor covering, we'll create a rustic, primitive bathroom.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Rustic and primitive? What does that mean? Is this going to turn into one of those videos where the the guys in, like, Indonesia somewhere create a pool out of mud? What do you mean primitive?
To warm up this windowless room, we rolled on a soft yellow paint called Colonial Yellow.
I mean, it is a bathroom, so might as well just make it piss-colored. It's on theme, I suppose.
This color resembles a Dijon mustard and will cozy up the space.
Perfect. Dijon mustard. Oh, the best kind of mustard. Why would you want a bathroom to be yellow? Might as well make it brown. It's just watered down brown.
This color will be a great background for the fairly subdued colored primitive accessories that we'll bring in later.
Dude, this color in this bathroom looks like every like strip mall taqueria bathroom I've ever been in. Why is every strip mall bathroom this color with those same tiles? Like my install an air blow like a blower hand dryer. That's what this bathroom needs. That's what'll tie it all together.
Our first accessory is this large primitive cabinet we discovered in the homeowner's garage.
What do you mean primitive? Is it just primitive because there's no back to it? Why is the back of it missing? What do you mean primitive? Watch, they're going to paint it an insane color. I guarantee you.
This will serve as our linen cupboard. We're solving that storage problem.
Okay, my guess is we're not quite done. Judging from the paint on your brush, we've got to add a little paint to this primitive.
Hell yeah, there it is. Paint it red or whatever. Also, did you clear out all the black widows and termites from it? You pulled it from somebody's nasty garage? Why? Why would you put this in your house?
Look already?
Yeah, and what I've got is leftover kitchen paint. It's kind of a paprika red.
Inexpensive.
Cheap. Found it in the...
They're all about cheap. We're saving cents. Get it? Decorating cents. You got to save the money. Use all of that paint. Use it all.
Basement, and I'm just going to dry brush. So I'm taking most of the paint off.
Okay.
And just lightly brushing this on. And part of the reason I'm using this.
This is going to look like a crime scene. They're painting it red on what is an old primitive white linen cupboard. They're painting it red. It's going to look like someone was axe murdered in this bathroom. Very, very inviting.
Red is it's going to go with that buffet shelf that we took from the dining room and we're moving in here.
But it's not going to match exactly.
No, we don't want it to match exactly. I mean, this is an old house that's evolved over the years, and so it's imperfect.
We like that controlled imperfection.
Exactly.
What are you saying? What are you even saying right now? This thing looks crazy. The yellow and red really complement
each
other.
Next, we hung the owner's buffet shelf above the sink. We found this shelf in her dining room. This will be used...
They've now nailed some kind of shelf cupboard above the sink. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's where I want to put my toothbrush. In an old, nasty, wooden... What is this thing? What's it from?
For storing items typically found in a medicine chest.
Oh, a medicine
chest. Above the shelf, we added a $34 mirror.
Perfect. Then incredible. Just set it right on top there. You could have spent $34 to get a normal vanity that you could have hung to the wall that like opened up. Instead, you rummaged around a dump somewhere.
We placed vintage accessories on the shelf. This antique lamp was a steal at $34. And this old tin mold is a wonderful soap dish.
I don't hate the soap dish, I'll be honest with you. But it does look like something that would be in some kind of rustic bed and breakfast in some podunk-ass town where you would probably get axe murdered. Maybe that's where this inspiration... Maybe they're subconsciously, they've been inspired by like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They painted the thing red. They got all this stuff from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house to put your soap and your toothbrush in.
And this old comb holder, well, it's perfect for toothbrushes.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect for toothbrushes. The thing that's full of tetanus.
On this wall, we placed a primitive farm bench. Cost $41. We left this bench in its original condition. We love
it. Yeah, we can tell you left it in its original condition. You haven't done shit to it. Wild that it actually matches the other piece of furniture you shoved in here that you painted yourself, though. It's the same red color.
The old worn look the years had created. To increase light and reflection in this windowless room, we hung a false window mirror centered above the bench. This is a salvaged window that had these wonderful stained glass.
You don't need to tell us that these things are salvaged. We can tell. And you just put Christmas lights behind it?
Glass inserts around the edge. Behind the stained glass, we added tiny holiday lights for sparkle.
Yeah, it looks like
on
shit.
On each side of the mirror, we attached four antique wrought iron hooks at different heights.
Just put them wherever.
These cost
perfect.
Just $5 each.
Put those
hooks
just wherever.
Hooks are much easier for kids to use and will look neater
and
than
make sure
we had
that
hung
the towels
towel
don't match at all. We want as many different colors in this fucking bathroom as possible.
We wanted quick, easy, and cost-effective.
Oh my God, stop painting over wood!
Normally, we would take the cupboard doors off to paint, but in this case, we decided to leave them on for a very casual, rustic look.
No, it doesn't look rustic. It looks lazy.
Well, it is. And I mean, it's really fast. We're not doing a real thorough coat. What we're doing is deliberately just brushing the primer on very imperfectly and real streaky.
It plays to my skills.
Oh, I know. It's very easy.
I don't know what I'm doing. How did I get this job?
And fast.
And I like that we get to paint over the hinges. It just adds to that rustic.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't paint it over the hinges. They painted over the hinges. They're painting all the cupboards that are wooden. Probably not even real wood. It's probably laminated wood. They're painting white with primer right over the hinges. Because when that dries, it's going to work perfectly fine. I don't know what. I'd play to my strengths. I'm a lazy dipshit.
It's all part of that look. I mean, when you see this, the wood is showing through, and it's almost like they're antiqued, and just a quick whitewash with a primer.
And we have primer, but you can use paint if you wanted to.
You could use paint. You can use primer. We're using primer because it's just going to stick a little better to these unfinished cabinets.
And it's going to be impossible to remove.
We're going to seal them with the polyurethane when we're done.
Or so you could wash them.
Exactly. They'll be very durable.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You'll love this next idea.
But then they took the cabinet doors off. They said, we're not going to remove the cabinet doors. We're just going to throw a coat of paint over these. And then they took the doors off. Why didn't you just do that in the first fucking place and do it the right way?
Whitewashing, we removed the larger cupboard doors. We're going to cut out the centers for a really rustic look.
Why? Why are you cutting the centers out? For what possible purpose? Okay, this is the last one I want to watch because I saw a clip of this and it's like they got inspiration from like the set of Blue's Clues or something.
Jennifer Israelov, She's our artist, and she cut these
pieces
out of foam core board.
Look at this,
just simple foam core with a large X-Acto knife. And then
was she the creative director on the cartoon show Doug? Why does it look like this?
Painted laundry on it.
This is something I could do.
You could
maybe.
Do it. You keep the design.
Well, I think you're giving yourself too much credit there because you can't even paint primer onto wooden cupboard doors. You think you can do this? I don't trust this woman to know what the dimensions of a human body are in order to create some sort of what even?
Design simple and anybody can do it because the cutout is really
no they can't
very,
stop
very
saying anybody
oh,
can
I
do
love
it
this. We're gonna hang it up there on our clothesline. We need to get a clothesline.
We're gonna make a clothesline.
Very cool. Let's hang our laundry.
Okay,
this is the tackiest.
We attached our laundry with double-sided stickies and then we drew a clothesline to connect the clothes together. We like the effect the foam core silhouette created. It definitely is whimsical and fun.
I don't think you know what the word whimsical means. What in the world are they doing to the floor? What is going on with the cupboards? Honestly, the one decent paint job I've seen so far are the cupboards in this one. They fucked up those last ones with the white primer, but these ones actually, I mean, the color palette's crazy, and it looks like the set of like a live action recreation of the show Doug. But they painted inside the lines.
Well, we only have one unpainted surface left in this room, the concrete floor. And our piece de resistance is this, a custom painted floral area rug.
It's not a rug if it's painted on the fucking ground. You can't just say things. Is this what it's like to have like a manic episode? You know, like is that what it's like? Do you just, when people go off their meds, is this what happens to some people? They go to Home Depot and they gotta buy 10 cans of paint? I think that's enough. I just wanted to share those with you because I find it so fascinating how so confident they are in their little crafting projects. It's so funny to me. I love it so much. And I think I'm going to end the episode there. I appreciate everybody for, you know, continuing to support the channel, subscribing, liking, commenting. Need I say more? I don't know when this is going to come out. And I'm going to be gone for a week. So have a good night. Have a good night. And I love you all. And I appreciate you. And fucking peace out, dude.